Amen. This morning, I'd like us to consider the thought of what does it mean when we say holiness unto the Lord, or what is it to be holy, personal holiness, what is involved in that, what does that look like, and why is it important? Why is it so important that the camp for 75 years has held to this motto, holiness unto the Lord? I think it may be safe to say that holiness has been somewhat misunderstood or maybe misinterpreted, and maybe with good intention. But the Bible, I believe, is clear what it means to be holy. Brother John Chow referred to just the introduction of this little book that you've received, that holiness must first be an inward work of the Spirit of God. It's not something that's outward. You can't really, you can follow a set of rules and believe that somehow consists or constitutes holiness. And yet you can miss the inward work that God must do to make us holy. So it's an inward work of the Spirit of God that manifests itself. Now that's the outward, right? There is something that shows on the outside. If you're holy, people will know that you're holy. If you're a godly person, people will be able to say that's a godly person. And not that we're looking to people to say, he's special holy, right? That's the word, Brother Tom? Brother Tom is special holy.
Oh, no.
That's a special holy. That's not what we don't walk around with a shirt that says we're holy. You don't have to do that. Because there's a joy and a radiance and a love that will flow from your life if you are truly a holy person. Holiness is separation from the world so we can be separated unto Him. Holiness is pleasing Jesus in everything. Holiness is Christ living out His life in me. And these are just some thoughts that I believe I have heard over the years when we've been taught this way of holiness. Certainly the thought of being clean and having a clean heart. And we're going to come to that. So maybe we should open our Bibles. I gave you this paper. This paper is really from me, just to try to keep me on track. But let's look at 1 Peter 1. Open our Bibles to that. Hallelujah. Maybe what we should do before we begin is let's turn to the first page of our papers. Now, I'm sorry, now I made you open your Bibles, but why don't we pray that prayer together again as we open God's Word. It's on your first page there. Together, O God, show me more of your holiness and show me more of my sinfulness. Help me to hate sin and to love righteousness as you do. Grant me a deeper conviction of sin and a more thorough spirit of repentance. O Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit and make me holy as you are holy. Amen. Amen. So here we read in the first chapter of Peter, 1 Peter 1, verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your minds. Would it be all right if I read in the NIV? Will anybody be offended? No? Okay. I'll tell you a little aside. Brother Bob Collis many years ago got up one Sunday morning or one of the meetings and said, this morning we're going to read from the Living Bible. They went, oh! And he said, King James Version. Yeah. And so it's always the Living Bible. the word of God, quick and powerful. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. I can understand that a little bit better than gird up the loins of your mind, right? So, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Christ Jesus is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you have been redeemed, or you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without spot or blemish. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever, and this is the word that was preached to you. Now, I believe all of that section deals with this thought of being holy. But let's just go back and see if we can just break it down a little bit. If I asked you this morning, what is personal holiness, or how would you define personal holiness? What would be one of the aspects? Come on, I want a response. So, what does it mean to be holy?
Conduct.
In our conduct. In the way we live. Something else.
Humility.
Humility.
Separate for a purpose.
All right. One at a time. Go ahead, Val. Right, in this chapter, it has the thought of love being part of that.
Separated for a purpose.
Separated for a purpose. Anyone else?
Obedience.
Walking in obedience to the commands. All right, so let's put down at least three things here. The first thing that I have is, well, let's say four. So leave space for four things. I think the first thing is a purity of heart. There has to be a cleansing work of God that makes us holy. You wouldn't use illustration we have in the Bible is of these vessels that were set apart for use in the tabernacle or in the temple. They were holy vessels, right? The first thought is that they had to be clean. You wouldn't think that a dirty vessel would be used in the service of God. You would make the vessel clean. You would wash it, and you would make sure it was empty of any impurities or anything else, so that it could be used for the purpose that it was made for. And you've been made for a purpose. You've been made to be a temple of the living God. And so God wants us to be clean. I think a verse that comes to mind, our brother Jeff mentioned last night in Psalm 24, that thought of who can ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands, it says, and a pure heart. And that when I think of that verse, I think of, as our brother said, how it seems impossible for us to attain. That's not our righteousness. That's not our cleanness, as it were. But it's what the Lord has been able to do Because of Calvary, because of his precious blood, I am able to draw near and ascend into the hill of the Lord, to come, as it were, into that holiest place. You know, the veil was rent. The veil was rent from top to bottom so that you and I could enter in, so that we could ascend into the hill of the Lord, so that we could partake of his holiness, his divine nature. There's a story that I connect with that verse, and it's maybe one that you've heard, the revival in the Hebrides some years ago. And they would have meetings, they had prayer meetings, and they would get the clergy together to pray and to call upon God. It started out with two old ladies. And then they told the ministers, you need to pray also. We're going to pray, but we want you to pray too. You need to pray. Something has to change. We need God to break through. Well, they were in a meeting, the clergy, one night, and a young man began to pray. And he said, Lord, do I have clean hands? Lord, do I have a pure heart? Lord, are my hands clean? Is my heart pure? And as he prayed that prayer, the Holy Ghost fell upon the place. And so that needs to be the cry in our hearts. Lord, are my hands clean? Is my heart pure? The second thing we heard was, we're set apart. We're separated for, well, first of all, I think the separation is from the world, from the things that defile. We're separated from contamination. We're separated to serve. And so we read in the New Testament, come out from among them and be separate. Well, that's also an Old Testament verse, but it's quoted by Paul. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll be a father unto you. You will be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. Wherefore, seeing we have these promises, these precious promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And so there's a coming out. But there's a purpose in that as well. It's not just a separation from the world. It's a separation unto God. The Bible speaks of the church and the people of God as being a holy nation. What does that mean? Well, I think the verse goes on to explain it. It says a people belonging to God, a people who are his peculiar or special treasure. Did you know that? That you are... I was going to say peculiar. No. You are special to God. You are his special treasure. You belong to him. That's an aspect of being holy, belonging to God fully, completely, no longer belonging to myself, coming out from the world, but coming unto this God who has called us unto himself. And sometimes we miss that in our maybe legalistic approach to holiness. We miss the fact that it's not about the rules, but it's about the relationship. Mm-hmm. Write that down. That was good, right? It's not about the rules that we can make. You see, that's where religion tends to take us, because that's, we see an outward standard and we say, look, if I live up to that, I'm okay. And I'm better than the person next to me because they don't do number two on the list. And we miss the fact that the heart of the call unto holiness is a relationship with a holy God who loved us and gave himself for us, that he may purify unto himself a people that are zealous of good works. The other aspect of personal holiness is this thought of Christ-likeness. We have a separate, well, we'll talk about that specifically on one of our mornings, hopefully. But he says, be holy as I am holy. We're also told to be perfect as he is perfect. And if you'd like to talk about that, we can sometime. I mean, about being perfect. But there's a call that God has over us. He says, be holy like I'm holy. And I began with that yesterday, that it's that statement does not allow us then to compare ourselves with one another or with some other worldly, earthly standard, no matter how good it may be. Be holy as I am holy. So why are we called to be holy? Well, I already said it. I mean, I said at least one thing, but maybe someone has something else. What does it say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 to 5? I'll tell you what it says. It says, this is the will of God, even your... Say it with me. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. That's the being made holy. This is God's will for us. Oh, it's optional. No, it's not optional. This is God's will for you to be holy. Can you be a Christian without being holy? Is there such a thing as an unholy Christian? Well, you could say yes and no, right? Because should there be something as that we would... No, they contradict one another. It doesn't go together. There's no such thing as an unholy Christian. If you're unholy, then you're not a Christian. You're a Christian by name. Holiness has to be lived out. Not only in church, not only on Sundays. Holiness becomes your way of life. It is what makes you a Christian. It's what distinguishes you from the world. And this thought of love. How does love fit into this? Why does the Apostle Peter speak about love in this discussion of holiness? Why? Because that's what God is. God is love. And if you want to be holy as God is holy, then you need to be filled with His love. But why the call to be holy? I think in this passage here, we're reminded that this is why Jesus died. Oh, Jesus died just to forgive my sins. Jesus died just so that I could get to heaven. Right? The answer is yes to that. But it's more than that. See, we stop there because now we're good. I got a ticket out of hell. We'll say things like that and not realize what it cost God and His Son to purchase your salvation. Your salvation doesn't consist of just the one time that you kneel at the cross and say, Lord, forgive my sins. No, your salvation is something that's ongoing today. I mentioned that the other night. Jesus saves you now. Jesus saves me now because I need Him as a present Savior. And so He died. He died. His precious blood was shed so that you and I could be holy. You see, the holiness that God requires becomes the basis for our relationship with Him. When he says, be holy as I'm holy, it's so that he can walk with us and he can talk with us and he can be our friend. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Now, if you just think that means heaven, then I think you're missing the walk and fellowship and relationship God desires to have with you right now. You see, our hope is not just a hope that's in the future, but our hope is that today, the promises of God will be fulfilled in my life. Today, I have hope that Jesus will walk with me, that Jesus will talk with me, that he will guide me every step. But it requires holiness to have that walk with him. I think I think our religion, if I could say it that way, or our Christianity at times is superficial. It's just on the surface. God blesses me, I pray, he hears me, I ask him for things, and in his grace and mercy he accommodates me, and I'm good. I'm blessed. And we're content to live at that kind of level with God. My sins are forgiven. I have a measure of peace. And the Lord says, I want you to come deeper. I want to know you better. I want you to know me better. But I need you to be holy. And so then he begins to deal with us, and he says that thing, you know, that you spend your time. Maybe it's, I just want to be careful what I'm going to say. I'm not speaking to anyone, so please, if you're offended, take it up with God. But maybe we spend too much time with the television, or maybe we spend too much time with. And again, I don't want to say that, you know, your phone is bad. It's not. The television necessarily is not bad. But if it's distracting you and robbing us, and it could be other things, you know, my wife teases me, stop watching the baseball game, you know, or stop watching the Knicks, you know, they lose anyway. She doesn't like the Knicks. And we get distracted with things that have no eternal value. Now, for others, it might be business. It might be, you know, pursuing this or that career, or and again, those things are not wrong in and of themselves. But we allow it to hinder the deeper walk with God that we are all called into. Well, that's just for special people. You know, that's only for special holy people. No, it's for all of us. This call to be holy was given to all Christians. And so the Lord will put his finger on something and say, you know, I remember my Uncle Arthur. He would come and fill in for my dad when my dad wasn't able to minister. Often Uncle Arthur would come, and he would have his little satchel. He had an old-fashioned satchel, you know, black, with it kind of was curved at the top, and it opened up like this, you know, and in it, then he would reach in, and he'd pull out a song that I never heard of, and he'd sing it for us, and then he'd preach, and, but I understand that as a younger person, growing up, he would avoid reading the newspaper. Now you might say, well, you know, what's wrong with the newspaper? But that's the way God convicted him or spoke to him. Arthur, you don't need to read the newspaper this morning. That's not the most important thing. And today, you know, we're tempted the same way. We grab the phone, we see the latest news feed, we have message, you know, it actually the news pops right up, you don't have to do anything. It just pops right up there. You can read it, and you're filled in with all the days in the news. And what profit did it have for your soul? And again, I'm not trying to I'm just trying to show you that the Lord at times will deal with you to be careful about certain things. And it's his desire in doing that to draw you to himself. You know, for some of our young people and older people, you know, video games are still a big draw. Spend hours doing that. Got to beat it. Or got to beat that other person now. You can beat the other person who's miles away across the world, right? Compete with them and be better than them. What profit does that have? And if the Lord deals with you about it, then you should take it seriously. That's my point. Not because I'm saying it to you. Because it might not be a problem for you. But there are certain things that you know are robbing your time and your walk with God. And you don't go any deeper, and we stay at the same place year after year after year after year because we don't take these things to heart. That God says, be ye holy as I am holy. Just to close this thought, the context of that verse, be ye holy, for I am holy, in the Old Testament, is at the end of a list of all the things that they could not eat. The unclean animals, the clean animals, you can't eat this, you can't eat that, you can't. And at the end of that, it says, be holy, for I am holy. I went and I looked at that, I said, Lord, what in the world? And then it came to me. The connection for us is this. What are you feeding your soul? You want to know whether you're holy or you're not holy? Just look at what you're eating. I told someone, they misinterpreted, I think, what I said. I told someone that I was trying at camp not to take second portions, and that if I took seconds, it would be salad. And the person said to me, you look like you're eating more than salad, brother. Praise the Lord anyhow. But beloved, what are we feeding our souls? What are you eating spiritually? You see, because you have a spiritual man. And either you're feeding it food that will strengthen your walk and deepen your walk with God, or you are eating and feeding yourself on things that are making you weak and sickly and are separating you from the life of God. And I know the things I should eat and shouldn't eat, right? We know what's good for us. I like potato chips. I don't eat just two. And yet we know what's not good for us spiritually, and we eat it anyway. Why is it? This is clean, and this is unclean. And I want you to be holy as I am holy. You know, as parents and as those who handle God's word, maybe as teachers or ministers, whatever it may be, you know, our call in these days, I believe the challenge for us is to be able to teach those who are under our charge the difference between the clean and the unclean, between the holy and between the unholy. And that's not an easy call, but it's what God has called us to. if we want to be faithful to him and to his word. You see, the lines have become blurred. And yet the Lord says, I need you to discern between the holy and the unholy. So why is it so important? And why are we called to be holy? Tell me one thing. Quick. I know you know it. That's not a trick question. That's the basis for what? Our relationship with a holy God. You want to walk with God? You want to see God? You want to know his presence? You want to be filled with his joy? You want to have his peace? You want to radiate his love? Then you need to be holy. Separated from the world. Called from the world and its idols to flee. Called from the bondage of sin to be free. But called and separated unto a God who loves us. A Savior who gave himself for us. Who desires to walk with us and talk with us. And have fellowship with us. I said this, I believe, yesterday, and I'll say it again. I believe also that you are called to be holy, to be a testimony that God is real, that God lives because he lives in you. And people will take notice, not so much of the things you say. We can say a lot of things, but people will take notice of a life that's lived holiness unto the Lord. I want my life to tell for Jesus. How about you? That everywhere I go, men may his goodness know. I want my life to tell for Jesus. So do you think it's important to be holy? I think so. It's God's will for you. It's God's will for me. It's God's will for everyone who calls themselves by the name of Christ. Everyone that nameth the name of Christ must depart from iniquity. There's a song in our books, our white books. Oh, Brother Paul's not there, right? But Brother Dan is here. Well, we're going to sing A Clean Heart. I believe it's number 34. Or is it 36? 36?
Yes.
Number 36. A Clean Heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Jesus, we take your grace this morning. Your blood was shed. Hallelujah. One thing I of the Lord desire, for all my path hath my rebellion, be it by water.
Yet to have mirrored in. Its steps are seen, the things divine, the things divine. So wash thou me without within, and purge with fire if that must be.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's our sin that separates us. And so, God, I pray, remove the sin that you see. Oh, search us, Lord. Try us. We welcome, Lord, the working conviction of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus, make me clean. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother John, would you pray with us? Shrek, please. Pray with us, please.
Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Remind us of the things that are important to you. Thank you that you try to draw us close to yourself in these meetings and that you speak to us directly. We thank you, Lord, that you tell us the truth. We ask you for grace that we might receive it wholeheartedly and give ourselves to the things that belong to holiness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to make a suggestion, and maybe not anyone or all of you will take it up, but I want you to maybe write down when you're by yourself maybe some things or a thing that the Lord is saying that's not holy in your life. And again, not that we want to become so introspective and try to find all the things that are wrong with us, but let the Lord do that. And let the Lord speak to you, because when he does it, he gives the grace then to make the change. He's the one that does the work when we acknowledge our need of him. And so this is for everyone. We maybe are all at different places in our walk with God. But Lord, what is it? Is there something? And if he doesn't show you, praise God. Praise God. Thank him. Lord, keep me true to you. Just a few announcements. On Wednesday mornings, we have a time of prayer after our morning worship. So because of the way things are set up, I think we'll just gather. Those of you who'd like to just spend some time in prayer, we'll gather around 11 o'clock in this room. And we usually just stay till 12, till the bell, first bell. And if you can only come for 10, 15 minutes, if you just like to spend some time before God, you can do that. Let's endeavor to just keep the room quiet during that time, so to speak. I also wanted to say that tonight we have a prayer meeting. Together we'll take prayer requests. We'll consider maybe a thought on prayer before we do that. But the young people will meet in the library tonight. All right? You won't be with us. I'm sorry to see you go. My heart But I wanted you to have a time where you could be together and pray. And Brother Dan and Sister Sarah will lead that time, 8 o'clock. And so I say that because then this section will be free, open. So if you'd like to, you know, those of you who feel comfortable sitting on this side where the young people usually sit, this way we can kind of be together when we do our time of prayer with the adults. All right? So the Lord bless you as you go. And like I said, we'll meet here. If you'd like to stay where you are, you can for prayer, but we'll meet back here at 11 if you need to use the restroom.